Notice in the book of 1 John, if you've got your Bible, to read just a little bit here and then we'll comment after this. The second chapter, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, the new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. The third chapter, the first verse, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave His commandment. And he that keepeth His commandment dwelleth in Him, and He in Him, and hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, where if ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Now, notice here in the 12th verse of the 3rd chapter, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now, I want to take just a few minutes going over to Revelation 12, tie just a few thoughts together tonight that may be beneficial to you. We have Revelation 12, and then we have Genesis, where Cain slew his brother. We've been teaching in Revelation 12 and kind of staying close to that particular spot for a good little bit, because knowing what we know concerning the end of the world, it's good that we talk about Revelation 12 and the book, the entire book of Revelation. It holds the secret of the end time. In chapter 4 of the book of Genesis, verse 8, it tells how Cain slew his brother, and it gives reference to this as we read from the book of John. Now, if you'll notice, there is a lot of controversy concerning the seed of the serpent. The message comes from Cain and Abel, comes from the experience in the garden. We've said some things concerning it here. We've never elaborated on it like we wanted to, but we have brought out a few things. A lot of controversy over it. There has been down through the years, and much more since Brother Branham's message. But even before I ever heard of the message of Brother Branham concerning this, I had had differences and disputes with people over this. I'd like to give just a few of my views tonight concerning it, to let you know why that I feel like I feel about it. I do not agree with the outlook that many of the followers of the Bible take, or many of the people that's called Brother Branham followers. I don't take the same outlook that they take, because I do not believe that it can be substantiated by the Scriptures. And if it can, then I would be glad to change my views. Anybody at any time that can show me different about a thing, I'm always willing to change it. The only thing I ask is that they show me Bible, because I do not believe in changing anything in God's Word. I believe that God's Word is settled in heaven, and that it cannot be changed, and that one jot nor tittle cannot pass away till all be fulfilled. And I believe that God's Word is settled in heaven and should not be tampered with. So I believe what God's Word teaches about it. It doesn't matter if a man is a prophet or if a man is a seer. It doesn't matter what kind of person that we have in the world today. Even if it's the Pope of Rome, if it's the great theologians of our day, if it is the doctors of divinity, the great philosophers, if it is professors that are in college, if it is scientists, I do not believe that anyone has the right to change God's word. Concerning this, John tells us that Cain slew his brother because he was of the wicked one. He said, wherefore slew he his brother? Was it not because his deeds were evil and his brother's deeds were righteous? I cannot bring myself to believe the things that they say concerning Cain's birth, because the Bible tells me that God has fashioned all men's hearts alike. If God has made Cain's heart just like your heart, and your heart just like Cain's heart, then to me that means that Cain had just as much right to call upon the name of the Lord as anyone else. Now I want us to look at it for just a few minutes tonight. That is one of the reasons that I believe that Cain belonged in the originality to the lineage of Adam. I believe it because, first of all, God has fashioned all men's hearts alike. That's first of all. I do not believe that God fashioned Cain's heart like a beast and your heart different, because that is contrary to the Bible. I believe that God's word will substantiate the fact that God, without respect of person, has called all men unto salvation and made all men equal in the sense of human sovereignty. And the Bible tells us that God hath made all nations of one blood. And medical science will tell you that you cannot put beast blood into human veins and keep a human being alive. It won't work. If God has made all nations of one blood, that means that Cain had to have the same blood of Adam that Abel had. For the Bible said, in Adam all die. That again proves that if Cain's life was to come to an end, it had to come to an end in Adam. If he died, he had to die in Adam. For in Adam all die, and in Christ all is made alive. So then, seeing that all nations are one blood, all men's hearts are fashioned alike, all die in Adam, it makes me to know that Cain had to have as much sovereignty to call on the Lord as did Abel. And the Bible will bear this out, because when Cain brought his sacrifice, the Lord said unto Cain, if thou doest well, wouldest thou not be accepted? Didn't God say that to Cain? But he said, if not, then evil or sin lieth at the door. And we know the door is the heart. Because Jesus said, I stand at the heart's door and I knock. Whosoever will open unto me, I'll come in and sup with him. He said, "What is this that thou hast done? Thy brother's blood cries to me from the ground." And then he cursed Cain. He cursed Cain, and Cain said, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. For this day thou hast driven me out from the face of the earth. It is my conviction that this is the reason why that the Bible does not give Cain in the genealogies of Adam. When it runs the genealogies back saying the son of such and such as the son of such and such, till it gets back to Adam, it says, and Adam, the son of God. It does not have Cain in the lineage. It speaks of the others, but not Cain, which would substantiate the thought that Cain actually was birthed from the beast. But at the same time, the curse that God placed upon Cain was, he said, my punishment is more than I can bear, for thou hast this day driven me out from the face of the earth, and the earth will not from henceforth yield its strength unto me. A vagabond and a fugitive shall I be in the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Well, it's obvious that God did not take Cain from off of the face of the earth. Therefore, it could not have been that. If he drove him out from the face of the earth, it meant that he took him out of the lineage of Adam and cut him off from the earth in the sense he was no longer in the genealogies of mankind, and he was as a beast to roam, and men would have took him as a beast because they would have said, well, he is not of the genealogies of mankind. He is some peculiar beast. But the Lord set a mark upon him, lest any finding him should kill him. Now, not being in the genealogies of Adam, he is not reckoned in the genealogies of Adam, so far as the Bible gives record. But the Bible does give record of his generation. It does give a generation concerning him. Not in the generation of Adam, because God intended to make a distinction between that which was called the sons of God and that which was not the sons of God. But in the thing that God did, he gave a record saying that they became great artificers of brass, musical instruments, and numbers of things that they greatly excelled in. Now, the question is this. Did the race of Cain become extinct? I wouldn't think so. The way that it talks, it multiplied right on. Then if it continued in the earth, is there in the world today a people that not one person in their family can be saved? Is there a generation of people today, or is there a lineage of people today that the entire family is doomed because God will not give them a chance because of Cain? I don't believe there is. Now, you say, but Brother Pike, look at the curse upon Cain. I know there was a curse upon him. But God also cursed the ground for Adam's sake. He also said there would be a curse to the woman in the birth of the children. But the Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, speaking of Jesus Christ, in that he was made a curse for us. And the curse was lifted in Jesus. Now let's look at it for just a minute. Is there today a people in the earth that a whole family a whole lineage. Out of all of them, none of them can be saved, because God will not let them be saved because of Cain. If that is true, how is it that a good person will come out of a family and a bad person will come out of a family? Is it that in Adam's family, everybody is good and nobody is bad? Or is it that God has cursed the family of Cain and all of his lineage is doomed, but in Adam, his is 50-50. Some can be saved and some can't. I would think that would be playing a game, and I don't believe God plays games. So then, would it be that God has cursed the beast, as we say, which is Cain and his lineage, and not any of his lineage can be saved? And he has said to Adam, all of thy lineage can be saved? Now then, if this be true, then that makes the blood of none effect. There was no need for Jesus to die. For if all was good to begin with in Adam's seed, what need was there for an atonement if all were righteous to begin with? And if all was bad in Cain's lineage, what good would an atonement have done, because they could not have been saved anyway? Therefore, such teaching makes the blood of none effect. And then I say again, is it that in the lineage of Cain that no one can be saved? And in the lineage of Adam, all of them are saved? That doesn't add up, because I know of families throughout the different parts of the world where one son will be a devil and the other will be a saint. How then do we account for that? Someone would say, well, that's because they intermarried. All right, let's look at it from that perspective. Scientists say that there's not a drop of a mother's blood in her child, and that the woman is only a carrier of life. Therefore, an intermarriage would be that the sons of Abel, or Seth, the replacement of Abel, should they have married the daughters of Cain, all of the blood life would be then of Seth or Abel's lineage. The woman would only be a carrier. There would not be one bit of beast life passed over. We've got some messages here. We brought it out concerning the blood life, and the placenta, and the activeness of life in the innermost parts. I believe that scientists is right about it. You say, why do you believe that? Because if they're not right about the blood, then Jesus Christ's blood would not be a virgin birth. There would be a mixture of the blood of Adam, which was the sinful blood. So then I believe that the mother is only a carrier, and that life comes from God and comes through the Father. Now, if that's true, then the intermarriage means that the father's life is in the child, and the father's blood is in the child, and it wouldn't matter how many Cain women was involved. Not one life would be born as the image of Cain if there was an intermarriage. All of them would be the life of Seth and his lineage. Vice versa. If the sons of Cain took wives from the daughters of Seth, all of the life would be of that of the beast, should they be right in their teachings. It would be that of the beast, and the blood would be that of the beast. There would be not one place where the lineage could ever mix. They would all be born devils if their teachings are right. Now, I said that to say this. That means that there is no way that intermarriage could change the fact that one family or lineage would produce all bad and one lineage would produce all good and still make the blood of none effect. Somebody said, well, it got over through the flood, Brother Pike. That would be utterly impossible. You say, why do you say that? Say, well, they married them Cain women. That's what I just got through saying. Ham, Shem, Japheth, the sons of Noah, their family, the eight. Noah and his wife, the three sons and their wives. It's obvious that that was Noah and his sons. It was the life giver. And the women being carriers. There would be nothing but Noah's seed or life or Abel's seed and life on the other side of the flood. So that could not be the answer. I can show you spiritually where it got over through the flood. I can show you spiritually where Paul the apostle had the revelation and it happened according to the Bible in the beast. I can show you the wrestling of the twins in the womb and it'll come out just exactly on God's word to a T according to the revelation of Jesus Christ. You cannot prove the teachings that they're trying to substantiate about a seed of a serpent in the sense that they're trying to teach it. It is a true fact that the seed of the serpent is in the earth today. And everyone that rejects God and will not accept God is the seed of the serpent. That is true. They are the seed of the serpent by the foreknowledge of God, in that God foreknew the route that they would take. And by their own sovereignty, they made their own decision of their own evilness and ugliness. God, by foreknowledge, knew it and appointed them unto destruction. They were made to be taken and burned. God, by foreknowledge, did that. Looking down through the telescope of time, knowing what they would be. Jesus said, I've chose 12 of you, one of you is a devil. Before he was ever born into the world, it was prophesied, let his bishopric another take. Because the prophet foresaw he would do the evil things that he did. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And the Bible said the children not yet being born, never having done any good and evil, that the calling of God might stand according to election. God said this before they were ever brought into the world. Therefore, by the foreknowledge, Peter said, we are God's elect according to what God foreknew that we would do. And we were elected unto grace by his foreknowledge of seeing our actions in our own time of sovereignty, doing the pilgrimage of our life here by our own choice. And then again I say that if they are right in their teachings, how is it the Bible says that if a man do wickedly, I believe it's in the book of Ezekiel, if a man do wickedly or evil, and then he turn and do righteously, all of his evil shall not be remembered. In his righteousness he shall live. If he do righteously, turn and do wickedly, all of his righteousness shall not be remembered. In his sins he shall die. Which again proves the sovereignty that a man can do good or bad, or both. And if he forsake the wrong, then he can live. This agrees with what God told Cain. If thou doest well, wouldest thou not be accepted? But if not, then sin lieth at the door. So then, in the light of these things, and looking at these things, and judging these things, it makes us to know that there is no unrighteousness with God. But as we have taught concerning the revelation, that where the warfare is, it is between the body and the spirit, the inner man and the outer man, and there are people that live after the flesh. And those that live after the flesh and walk after the flesh, they are the seed of the serpent. But they that crucify the flesh and mortify the flesh with the lust and the affections thereof, they are not in the flesh, but they are in the spirit, and they are the seed of God. You can see in this that when you talk about the seed of the serpent, in the way that people are talking about it, that there is absolutely no way to substantiate what those people are saying. It's foolishness. There's no way that you can prove any such. Wherefore slew he his brother? Because his brother was righteous and he was wicked. Then in Revelation 12, it gives us a greater understanding of what is taking place. And it leads us to a better understanding when we understand what took place yesterday with the baptism of the priest and Tony. When you look in Genesis and you find out that the followers of Brother Branham are, as we say, hung up on a teaching called the serpent seed, something they cannot prove in the way they're teaching it, it shows you a beginning, and it shows you that of Moses, which is under the law, which goes back to the brazen serpent in the wilderness. And it shows you what the Bible says, they without us cannot be made perfect. And then when it comes to these of Bethlehem, or they that follow the message of the revelation of Jesus Christ, it shows you the end where they show the beginning of Genesis, the spoken word. This is the revealed word, the unveiled word. It shows you the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the end. They, having lost the image of the covering, as Brother Branham departed from them, having lost that Shekinah glory or that image or that covering, the gift of the miracle working power, and then they having failed to the veil of the serpent or the beast realm, not being able to be made perfect without this that's coming in. They that were under the law could not be made perfect without that which grace would bring. So then, trying to fit that together, they cannot fit it together. And that will cause them to have to accept the revelation of Jesus Christ to be made perfect, which agrees with Brother Terrell's vision. When Brother Terrell had the vision, you remember what we said concerning the Brother Terrell ministry? How that he would stand and say that he had the revelation of the Lord Jesus. And later on he did. He made the statement and he said he had a vision. And you remember the vision where he said him and Brother Branham went away on a long fast. He returned, but Brother Branham did not, which agrees with Brother Branham's death. And that he saw these white birds, all spotted. They came to him, and he said, and they were made clean through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he said they were followers of Brother Branham. Therefore, being made perfect by coming to the true understanding of the teaching of the serpent seed. So then the revelation of the Lord Jesus shows the truth about it. Those that are in the world that walk after the flesh are the seed of Satan. Those that walk after the Spirit are the seed of God. In seeing this and looking at Revelation 12, we get a beautiful picture of what the Bible was telling us. Here is the woman is between heaven and earth. The Bible set her feet upon the moon, which means the law and the prophets, or the lesser light. That is to say, on the other side of Calvary BC, the law and the prophets, the veiled light, or the lesser light, in that the writer used the terms, the latter light shall be greater than the former light, because the former is a veiled light of the law, and the latter is the light of the world, in that the Bible said, ye are the light of the world, the unveiled light. So then the law and the prophets, the veil light, the moon rim, coming as far as Calvary. Therefore we see the foundation of all of religious activities was the law and the prophets. For Jesus spoke of that being built upon the law and the prophets, he said. Israel having to do with the church of the wilderness. Then we see the woman, Jesus, hanging between heaven and earth, Calvary. Why would you then say that that would be a woman? I want you to listen close tonight, because I might say some things that be real close. Have to listen close to understand. Jesus hanging between heaven and earth, that denotes the travail of the woman. Why would this denote the travail of the woman? Because the flesh is considered the feminine part. The spirit is considered the masculine part. Because Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you, making us the church or the feminine part, the carrier of the child. The blood that we have doesn't mix with the child, because ours would be corruptible blood. But we have royal blood from our heavenly Father flowing through our veins as the birth or the carrying of the image of the man-child. So then here hangs the woman between heaven and earth, Revelation 12, in great travail. And all of a sudden as the Spirit goes in, the water and the blood comes forth. And as Adam was put to sleep and Eve was taken out of the side of Adam, here the second man Adam is placed to sleep and the church is taken out of the side. Or as we say in the days of Moses, as the cleft was made in the rock, and Jesus said, upon this rock, Peter. Now I know there's a great mistake there, because he said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter. But he said, upon Jesus Christ, this rock, I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, in the cleft of the rock, Moses, I will put thee, and I will place my hand upon thee, and I will make my glory to pass before thee, and thou canst see my hind parts. That agrees with the fact that no man can see my unveiled face and live. Or if I hide thee in the cleft of the rock through the blood and the water that comes forth from the side, if I put my hand over thee as a fivefold ministry, as we would say, if I shield thee and put something between us, through this thou canst see my hind parts. And so then Moses saw the hind parts, which was the veiled glory of God, which was the law side of it. But then comes the day of the unveiling, when the veil of the temple is rent in twain. And I will raise up a prophet like unto Moses. It shall come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear this Jesus shall be cut off from among the people. Now, here we see Jesus hanging between heaven and earth. We see the travail, we see the birth of the man-child. And I want to say this again. The birth of the child and the breaking forth of the water, the blood, and the spirit, the blood at Calvary, the water baptism, and the infilling of the great Holy Spirit of the Holy Ghost, the life of the child, the new birth. When we see this, the travail of the woman, we see, I say again, the red dragon laying right in there waiting. And what is the red dragon? Remember, this is the second heaven. But the second heaven in the book of Revelation is where the woman was, not in the third heaven, because the child was caught up to the third heaven. It was in the second heaven because John said, I saw this great wonder in heaven. Lucifer was in heaven. The red dragon was in heaven, the second heaven. There Lucifer was, the red dragon in heaven, which means that as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, the people of the world are in grace, and grace is heaven, the second heaven. Now, look at the woman on the moon. She was illuminated with the sun, isn't that right? What was the illumination of the sun? It was the Shekinah of God through the blood of grace. It is the day of grace that the church is in, the day of grace. She is illuminated with the glory of God. While she is carrying the child and while she is in travail with the child. This shows also the beauty of the Catholic Church, the splendor and radiance of the silk and the satin of the garments, of the golden altars and the studded altars with jewels and diamonds and all of these rubies and different things. John even marveled when he saw it. In the radiance, look at the great churches of today. Towering steeples, churches that are fabulous, Protestant churches. See the grace of God upon it, allowing it to be adorned in such magnificence. The mercy of God, the Shekinah of God. It was shown here, the great illumination. And then all of a sudden the child was born. Then what happened to the illumination? The Bible said the woman went into the wilderness. Now she was in heaven. It did not say she was cast out of heaven. It had to be an earthly perspective. Therefore she went into the wilderness, a place prepared for her for 3.5 years. Times time and a half a time. And look at the red dragon that was cast out of heaven. That is to say that Lucifer and his people was no more in grace. Why was that? Because the child was born, and as quick as the child was born, he went up to the throne. When he went up to the throne, that was the end of Lucifer. All right, let's look at it for just a minute. The red dragon, blood life. Blood life. Life by the will of man. Blood life. Born unto death, human bodies, a generation of viper, the seed of the serpent. Look at it and see if that's right. The red dragon, the old carnal mind of death, laying right in that rim of the church, when the sons of God come to present themselves, the sons of Satan come also. And there's Satan living in human bodies, just like God living in human bodies. And there is that old red dragon, the blood life. Not the spirit life now, the blood life. The Bible calls them a generation of vipers. They're saying, come on. Just as quick as the child is born in the church, let's get us a football team. Let's get us a baseball team. Let's go frolicking out in the world. Let's get a great career in the world. Let's make money. Let's have the convenience of this world. Let's be some great celebrity. Let's be some great person. Some great president. Some great leader. Drilling the red serpent just right there. The red dragon right there all the time. Just all the time, pressing and beating all the time. Just as quick as that child's born, just waiting to devour it, to drag it out into the worldliness. Drag it out into the things of the flesh. Satan, that savors the things that be of the flesh. In my body, no good thing, Paul said. That red dragon, that blood life, that corruptible life, that carnal mind of death, waiting to kill it with the carnal mind. But all of a sudden, grace was over, and those people, the seed of the serpent, the red dragon, it couldn't be there no more. It couldn't be there no more. It wasn't in grace anymore. Why was it? Because the child went up to the throne just like that. And what is the throne? That revelation of Jesus Christ, that mind of Christ, that third heaven. That child, finally the travail of the church was over. And that great illumination began to live. It began to leave the church. Why? Because the days of the travail was over. The child was born. The woman was to go into a wilderness. That means that the illumination lifted. Like in the Catholic Church here not too long ago. Look at the crown. When they didn't give that crown to that next pope in that apostolic succession. The infallibility of the pope, look how the beauty of the church left. And thousands of priests pulled out. And the church just got split up in splinters. When it's been a glorious thing, all of the world followed after it. But the illumination lifted. Look at the same way with the Protestants. It's becoming a bunch of rock and rolls. Beatniks, programs, football teams, everything but God. And the illumination is lifting. The grace of God is lifting. Why is that? Because they're becoming worldly. They don't want to hear about the grace of God in the sense of salvation. They don't want to hear about anything about religion. They want programs and they want suppers. And they want parties, and they want football teams, and they want sports, and they want these things of the world. That's what they're after. And if you don't have it in the church, you don't have a congregation. See, the illumination is gone from them. Like the vision I had where they were praying for their football teams. And in the vision, it was an abomination in the sight of God. Now, see what I'm saying is, the woman with the stars over her head, the 12 stars over her head, the teachings of the apostolic church, words of life, the crown of life, the illumination of the Holy Spirit. But see, the child wasn't just illuminated. The child was born of the Holy Spirit. And that child which was born of the Holy Spirit went up to the third heaven. Because there is water, there is blood, there is spirit. Water bears witness in the earth, the blood bears witness in the earth. The Spirit bears witness in the earth. Why water, blood, and spirit? Because there is a birth. Water, blood, and spirit. Water 2,000 years nor, blood 2,000 years in Calvary, Spirit Pentecost 2,000 years and then the coming of the Lord. It all bears out. Everything bears out to it. I wish we had time to elaborate on it, but there's a few things here I want to say. Hanging between heaven and earth, here is the travail. Here is the woman, the man-child. The illumination lifting, the days of grace over, the woman goes into the wilderness. Why? Because, like the Catholic Church, the priesthood, a succession that comes all the way back from the Jewish times of the Levites. And it goes into a 1, 2, 3. You've got a natural priesthood, a physical priesthood, and a spiritual priesthood. And in your first stages of priesthood, it is with the Jewish people. In the second stages of the priesthood, it is with the Catholic people. In the third stages of the priesthood, it is with the Protestant people. It is called the ministry. Now, in these things, there's a 1, 2, 3 in the succession of priesthood or of the ministry. Paul said there being a change of priesthood, then of course there was a change of the covenant. Or if there was a change of the covenant, then of course there had to be a change of the priesthood. God having set in the church a fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now in this, for the perfecting of your faith, Paul said, the travail, here we see if the illumination is lifted from the woman, she goes into the wilderness and we get a good picture of Israel. In the succession, the apostolic succession is coming on down, as we would say, from the foundation church all the way down. Now we see something going back. We see it going back. If it comes Jew, Catholic, Protestant, then it must go back Protestant, Catholic, Jew. It has to go back the same way. I say this again. You take a little telescope and you pull it out like that, you know. In your 1, 2, 3. You say, Jew, Catholic, Protestant. But when you go to put it back together, it goes back together, body, soul, and spirit. If the dissecting and the death is from Calvary, then it's taken out, we say, the soul out of the Jew, which is the Catholic, and the spirit out of the Catholic, which is the Protestant. Then when they confederate, then the spirit of the Protestant goes back into the Catholic, and the Catholic soul goes back into the Jew. And in a great world confederation, it becomes the confederation of churches. But there's also a spiritual people that is outside of this great thing, that is going through the same transition of life, which is a spiritual thing of the body of Christ, of body, soul, and spirit. Therefore, in this great thing that we see, it means that the Protestants will unite with the Catholic, and the Catholic will unite with the Jews, and there will become or come about a great brotherhood. It will be a confederation of churches, a world confederation. But it won't stand. You can't make it stay together because it has to do with the Babylonian image where it said that the clay wouldn't mix with the iron. And you start putting them all together, they won't stick together. But at the same time, it will represent the body of Jesus, body, soul, and spirit coming together that will confederate and stay together. They will stay together. And they'll fit together, brother, sister. The body of the Lord will fit together. It will denote the resurrection of the Lord and the resurrection of these things of the body. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The coming of His body from heaven, which we call the resurrection. The first resurrection after the tribulation period. They call it the first resurrection. Let me say a few more things and we're going to close. But in the travail of the woman, I want you to notice this now. God, and I want you to listen close, God smote the Son of God. We esteem Him smitten of God. Now look at this. In the 13th chapter, out comes Lucifer, the red dragon. God smiting the sun, I saw Satan fall from heaven. The travail of the woman, Revelation 12. Immediately out goes Lucifer. The war is in heaven. Revelation 13, immediately after the travail, here comes Lucifer out of the waters. He comes up out of the waters, personifies himself in a human being. This is all of the world following the beast. That's what it is. It's the world following the beast. You say, why do you say it's the world, Brother Pike? Because John said it come up out of the waters, and he said the waters was people. That means that that image will be formed out of people, out of human bodies. It came up out of the water. It had 7 heads. It had 10 horns. And the 10 horns apparently is 10 kings, the Bible said, that has not as of yet received a kingdom, these kings, but will for 1 hour with the beast. Though they will hate the beast and they will burn the whore's flesh with fire. But I want you to look at it for just a minute. What is that will come about? We spoke of the great Church of Rome. How that it would turn to communism. And you know what? The brother just brought me some literature on that tonight. And right after we made the statement, the article was published in the paper that the great church must turn to communism because of the great government that it might protect her or carry her. I said it will turn to communism because communism is that beast that must carry the great whore. It happened. Now, let's see if it holds true. The Bible said when this beast come up out of the waters, he had feet like a bear. We know that that relates to Russia. It said that he had a body like a leopard. He said he had a head like a lion. What did Daniel say? Babylon's head? He said it was a lion. Medo-Persia? It was a bear. When he spoke of Alexander the Great, it was a leopard. Isn't that right? The same vision that Daniel saw, and then he saw the little horn break up out of the others, subdue 3 of the horns. Whereas he spoke like this, concerning the head, there would be the 8th. He spoke of the 8th one being of the 7, or that is to say that he would arise from out of the 7. Is that right? 5 are fallen, 1 is, and 1 is to come, and the 8th is of the 7. In this, the constitution of the beast then must be of the bare feet, the leopard body, and the lion head, coming out of the mass of people, which is referred to as waters. And all of the world wondered after the beast, that is all of the flesh. Why did all of the world wonder after the beast? For one reason. The composition of that beast, I say again, was 3 things. A government, which is the communist feet of the bear. It was a leopard body of sports that gets its origination going back to Greece. Or back to that land that upholds sports, Alexander the Great. That's where he came from. That's the land of sports. That's its origin. The arenas and all those kind of things. That was the bodily constitution of it. The government that carried it, that carried the sports, was the communist part of it. It's a fact, as I said the other night, that Russia opened their doors to sports when they wouldn't open them to nothing else. The next thing was religion, which is the Babylonian Empire, the revising of the Babylonian Empire. Check it out and see if it's true that when Babylon fell, when it went down, that the seed of Satan, which was in Babylon, that come up from the Tower of Babel, through all of the confusion and all of those things of Nimrod, check it out and see if the seed of Satan didn't go to Pergamos that Revelation speaks of. And if the rights of the leader of Babylon, see if it was bequeathed over to the leaders of Rome and went right there, and that become the seed of Satan, or what the Bible calls Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon the Great, mother of harlots. Which means that many of the Protestant churches, or all of them, that deny the name Jesus, is nothing but daughters of the great harlot that came out through the Martin Luther opening when he said, "The just shall live by faith." In the great restoration of the churches, God sifted, coming on down, throwing away the drag, constantly sifting to get back to the apostolic church. A great thing is taking place. Now I want you to look at it. Here is Jesus between heaven and earth. Here is the wrath of God upon Jesus. What was that wrath? It was 10 kings. Now I want you to listen now. The Bible said these 10 kings will hate the whore and burn her flesh with fire. Isn't that right? But before they do, they will give their strength to the beast. Isn't that right? They make war with the King of Kings. How is this? Because the 10 kings are represented by the 10 commandments of God. Now look at it and see. God, making an end of sin, made his own son in the likeness of the image of the beast, of a human body, and the likeness of the serpent, the brazen serpent of the wilderness that Moses spoke of, made him in the likeness of the great whore. All of the flesh that is rejected of God is called the great whore. God did this, and then God, through the law, the 10 kings, the 10 commandments, by the law shall no flesh be justified. God, being a consuming fire, literally poured out his wrath and burned the flesh of the beast and the whore on the big brazen altar of Calvary as he consumed it with his wrath. I saw Satan fall from heaven. I destroyed sin. I destroyed the image of sin. I've done away with corruption. And those 10 kings that hated the beast gave their strength to sin, just like the Bible said they would. But they hated the beast. They hated the whore. But they gave their strength to the beast. You say, how? Because sin gets its strength by the law. The great whore,
the flesh gets its strength by the law. But the law hates the flesh. It was sent to destroy the flesh, and it is the judgment of God that someday that will put it in the fire and burn it in the flames of hell. That's what these kings represent in the book of Revelation. God making an end for these Ten Commandments, giving strength to sin, made war with the Lamb, but the Lamb overcame them. He mastered the flesh. He folded up the law and he laid it away. Because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, no one ever mastered them but him. Therefore, the ten horns that will rise, being the ten nations that will confederate throughout Europe, will come together and take on a kingship for one reason. Because at one time, they were under the power and dominion of the Roman Catholic Church. And communists knows that if they can get favor with the great Hoa and carry the great Hoa, that they can dominate the nations through a religious law. Because with Rome, it is not like it is in the United States, separation of church and state. They believe in church over state. It is a government with them. Therefore, they can easily join up with communists and make it a government and overpower the people and take control over those nations because they've controlled them one time before. And communists knows this. That way communists can get control of all of those nations when those nations hate them. But by carrying the great whole, they can get control of them. And that's what they're going to do. Now, all of the world is going to wonder after the beast. You say, wonder after the beast, after the flesh. Eating and drinking and making merry and frolic and sports and games and all of these things. Whereas the Bible said, he that cometh after me, let him deny self. That's the first thing, is the chastity of the body. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Oh, glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Jesus likes that, you know that? The Holy Spirit likes that. I can hear him saying, amen in my soul, amen, son, amen, amen. And he that overcometh, I will grant unto him that he may sit down in my throne with me. Isn't that beautiful? Somebody said, is the throne big enough for that? The Bible said, heaven is his throne. That's a big place. Even as I have overcome and sat down in the throne with my Father. Hallelujah. And I will give him power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. All right, let me say this in close because there's so many other things I'd like to say. When we think about this, look at the thing that took place yesterday. Christmas. We say, but Brother Pike, that's the birth of Jesus. I kept saying Calvary. Calvary. The Passover. The Lamb. But we say that's the birth, and that's true. That is the birth. But see, the Bible says in Revelation 12 that the child was caught up to the throne as soon as he was born. Isn't that right? That's where the birth comes in, Christmas. As soon as he was born. Somebody says, well, I can't see that. Jesus stayed in this world 33 years. But if you remember, he said to Nicodemus, I'm in heaven, Nicodemus. He was right there at the throne. I do always the things the Father shows me. No man has ever ascended into heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven and is in heaven, Nicodemus. Now, therefore rejoice ye that are in heaven, if ye be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. For we are not of this world. He hath chosen us out of this world and hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And we're made to sit together in these heavenly places. Isn't that right? But woe to the inhabitants of the body. But you're not in the body. You're not in the flesh. You're in heaven, the Spirit. If you was in the flesh, you couldn't please God. But the body is dead because of sin. It's buried. Therefore, at death, the Spirit goes back to God who gave it. Therefore, you're back with God who gave you. Is that right? And the body is buried in the name of our Lord in the water. For the water is a grave. Therefore, it is not you living, but Christ that lives within you. And the life you now live, you live with the Son of God. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Therefore, the man-child being caught up to the throne, to the mind of God in heaven. Somebody would say, but how are we caught up, Brother Pike? By knowing, in that we heard, and in that we believed, and according to your believing, so be it unto you. Have you heard what the Spirit said to the church? Have you heard it? Have you heard it? Some of you have not. Have you heard it? You didn't have ears to hear. You say, what did the Spirit say, Brother Pike? The Spirit said that we are hid with Christ in God whom the heavens have received. And we're sitting together in those heavenly places. And that we are not of this world. He has chosen us out of this world. Then if I heard it, can I believe it? If I believe it, then according to my faith, so be it unto me. I wish you believed it too. It could be unto you too. So then it is so wonderful to know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What a beautiful thing God has done. How beautiful, how he hath hid it from the eyes of the wise and the prudent, making it revelation unto babes such as would learn. And this glorious transition of faith that has taken place. And the world and the great men and the intellectuals and the powers and the dignitaries. And the millionaires are baffled and don't know what to do. And they cannot intellectually define the thing. And scientists have gone as far as Saturn. And they still can't find it. But glory to God, Jesus said it's not far from any of you. That if thou canst believe in thine heart, hallelujah, and confess with your mouth. Isn't that right? So then it's so wonderful to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. And then be able to believe. And in doing it, it would be wonderful. But I can tell that some of you are just as cold as this room is. And a little colder. You know, on Easter, they used to hide the eggs, and you get a little close to the prize egg. They'd say, you're getting hot, you're getting hot. Some of you need to get hot. Jesus said, be hot or cold. Some of you lukewarm. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. So then what we need to do is really get warmed up, folks. But this thing is real. And the thing that took place yesterday was so beautiful. Here we baptize our brother in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. I'm saying like I understand. I've never in my life, though I have been overseas, I have been as far as the land of the midnight sun, South America, into the islands, around the different parts of the world. I have never heard of a priest being baptized in Jesus' name. Never. I've never heard of it. You say you've never heard of a priest being converted? Yes. I've heard of a number of priests that was converted over to Protestant. But I have never heard of a priest being baptized in Jesus' name. Never. Say, well, ain't there none? I don't know. I just never heard of them. You say, well, what does that mean? I mean that if all of the rest of the Catholic priests, and they are the ones that have the authority to bless or curse according to their laws and according to what the church says, if every last one of them even went as far as to get converted to Protestantism. unless they went back to the originality of what Peter taught as the principle of the church and its teachings, to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, then that means the entire church would have lost the apostolic succession, all of them except Brother Andre. Somebody say amen. Now that's Bible. You search it out for yourself and see if I'm telling you right. And yesterday, being Christmas now, Mary, the church is represented as Mary the Virgin, giving birth. And I watched how beautiful it was. There stood Brother Taylor, myself. There stood Brother Andre, and there stood Tony. It was a beautiful type of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They referred to the priest as the Father. It was a beautiful thing, for there was the church, Mary, represented by our brother, giving birth to a man-child, showing the apostolic succession. And the beauty of it was that the water, the blood, and the spirit was represented. I saw all three of them there as they were represented at the baptism. It was a beautiful thing. Brother Taylor was wrapped in that red blanket that Brother James Isaac gave him after we had handed him the red Bible to give them on the bank, which represented the blood. The word represented there. There it was. James Isaac representing the Son, which is the body of Jesus, the spilt blood. There was the little brother Tony from down in Louisiana. You ever heard of the Louisiana Purchase? You ever heard of the Purchase Possession? There was the redemption of the body shown, I believe at 19, he is considered the chief electrician of his area, and he's 20 now. And see, electricity goes back to light, it goes back to Christ. That goes back to what Jesus said about Satan falling as lightning from heaven, and about the light, Benjamin Franklin. How do you remember that? The New World. We could say a lot of things on that. We've got a tape here concerning the kite and what it represents. You know, the kite, the cross, the key, the string, the light coming to earth through Peter's key. It's a beautiful thing that God did. Somebody said Benjamin Franklin discovered electricity. No, Franklin means free man. All he did was just, God just revealed to him what he was doing in freeing men, that's all. Gave him the key, gave him the light by means of the cross, that is, the kite. So then in this, I saw it. I saw the baptism. And you know, the strange thing is, I was baptizing in my belt. I usually don't wear my belt. But this belt that has this birthstone on it, the birthstone. I had it. I went into the water with it. That's unusual. I wouldn't have done it ordinarily, but I did. I had it on. That was made from Covington. And I'm going to say this right here. I'm trying to find an end, if you'll be patient now. Things of God does have an end. They're not like the things of Satan. You have a learning, you know, and you're in a bottomless pit. You don't have no foundation. You never make sense out of it. Now, my wife, Sister Nancy, Sister Teresa, they all went over to Covington to Sister Ward's, J.C. Ward. You know, we say Jimmy Carter, J.C. Jesus Christ. Ward, I think, means guardian. They went over to the Golden Needle, that's the place that she runs, to get a wedding dress for Teresa. Teresa, being Lambert, you know, we refer to Brother Jerry as the lamb. You've heard me say that a lot of times, the type that he follows. And then over here, Brother Dale's dad was a patrolman. We refer to them as the law side of it. And now they're talking about marrying. Here it comes, now see together. The Lamb and grace, the law and the Lamb coming together. How many understand what I'm saying? See, it's coming together now, bodily redemption. You say, where did that happen? When we baptized the priest. That represented the law. That represented the law side of it. The Catholic law side of it, which goes back to the Ten Commandments, goes back to the priesthood, which goes back beyond Calvary, because the priesthood comes from the Jews. Therefore, it comes to the Ten Commandments, all the law. And that was, down there at the baptism, it was body redemption. It was the law and the Spirit coming together. You say, how could that be represented? Because they say that we're Protestant, they say that that's Catholic. And when Protestant and Catholic come together, we told you years ago that it would happen. I said it will be the redemption of the body. Isn't that right? All right, now, brother, the little brother Jew here, Brother Richard said, you know, said Brother Pike, as quick as I walked into that room, said the brother priest said, I'm going to be baptized. See, here was the Protestant going back to the Catholic going back to the Jew, and there we were all three in the same room. Protestant, Catholic, and Jew. How many understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, Brother Pike, are you a Protestant? I'm a Protestant. I protest against the devil. I don't believe in him. You love the Lord? All right. So then, I thought Martin Luther done a real good job in what he'd done. But Martin Luther didn't find any fault with the people of God. There was some good folks there. And he was one of the good folks. That proved it was good folks in there because he was one of them. But it is a true fact that the Protestant church comes from Martin Luther. It's called the Protesting Church. But we are Christians. We are neither Catholic nor Protestant nor anything. We are Christians. First called Christians at Antioch. And when we say Catholic and Protestants, this is titles that are given us down through the years that people give us. The word Catholic meaning universal. There is but one church, and that is a universal church. Everybody knows that. That understands the church. And we are a protesting church. As I said, we protest against the devil, against unrighteousness. That's what Martin Luther did. He was a universal member, and he didn't like the devil, and he told him. Now, so then there was the Jewish body, there was the Catholic soul, and there was the Protestant spirit. All three coming together. I know you're getting cold, and just give me a moment. Here we have the Catholic priest, which I believe through him has come the apostolic succession in what we said to little Bethlehem, because he went to Canada, he rejected the papacy. He told them in the presence of those people, that woman and all of them, that he did not agree with the papacy of Rome. He rejected that as being the head of the church. He called that false. And he said, Christ Jesus is the head of the church, and I'm going back to Bethlehem because Christ was born in Bethlehem. But anyway, he come back down here. It was wonderful. He come back down here. He said that he would have stopped in Montreal to there for the bishop, you know, and the succession thing that we spoke of, but he had left the letter with us here as well as his ordination papers, which proved the thing that we were saying. So then in this, I saw the whole thing take place here at the baptism yesterday, in that he had come back, as in heaven, so in earth, and there the battle in heaven, which was Canada in his type, the devil was cast out. He made that plain to that woman, you know, the woman being in the transgression, the man wasn't. The man just walked off and told the woman how he felt. And he come on back down here. So it was a beautiful thing, the way the thing took place in the overthrowing of Satan, the casting out of Satan. As he said, it was diabolic.
And he came on back down here, and in the coming back down here, it indicated the birth of the child. Because as soon as the child was caught up to the throne, which has to do with heaven, Lucifer went out. And who was Lucifer? The papacy of Rome. That's what it had to do with. He rejected the false head. He went up there, and there was war in heaven. And they had it out, and then came back, and here we saw the birth of the child. The whole thing so beautifully caught up to the throne, to where the real war is, that Lucifer truthfully will be cast out, because the true child, which is the membership of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, his members in particular, or that which the Holy Spirit controls, is caught up to the very throne of the mind of the Almighty God. And Lucifer, the intellectual mind from the tree of knowledge, that head will be bruised, being cast out. It can no more control the kingdoms of this world. You understand what I'm saying? Did you know that the Roman powers control the entire world? Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, it's true. I don't care if they're millionaires or rich, poor, whatever. They are the controlling factor of the entire world. And it is a truth fact that in that he rejected the papacy, it indicated the overthrow of the red dragon, because that particular pope belongs to the communists. Therefore, it is the overthrow of the red dragon, the church itself, which Brother Andre stood with, the old paths, as we say, bringing back the old establishment, which he called the first church, Peter, as he referred to in my living room down there, and the 3,000 was added unto the church, re-established here at Bethlehem in the baptism, bringing, as on our flag out here, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and forever. That's why Curly came in here. You understand what I'm saying? That's why our brother priest came in here, and that's why that thing happened about Jimmy. Jimmy having to do with the government down yonder, you understand, at the White House? The brother priest having to do with the religious part, Curly having to do with the sports part. Is that right? Every one of the heads of those three powers had to be completely subdued. The papacy of Rome, it had to be subdued as the religious part. The governmental part, which has been America for a number of years, which would be Roosevelt, the four-term man, Jimmy running in that term, or after that, I say in that term, in those terms, after the fashion and the policy of Roosevelt, down at the little White House, and you remember what happened down there. And then Curly being in the movies, Curly being in the football team, the leading football team out in California, Curly being with Mae West, and Curly being with Bob Holt, and being the chaplain of all that kind of thing, and Curly being the man that gave Reagan his start in the movies. So that made him the head of the sports world, bringing that thing in right here. You understand what I'm saying? And the Lord killed every bit of it, and Christ took the preeminence. Isn't that right? So then we're here to lift him up while the world comes together in that Trinity confederation. We exalt one God, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All right, let's stand together. God bless you for your wonderful patience. And I know it's been cool here tonight. It is a wonderful thing that God is doing. It's so beautiful. And God is so good. He is so wonderful, because I look over here and I see a brother that's been taken out of a Baptist church. And then I look and I see a brother that's been taken out of the Church of Christ.
And I see another brother that's been taken out of the Catholic Church. And of course, brothers has been taken out of these different movements. Maybe another come from a Presbyterian church and another from a charismatic order. Another from a Church of God, one from an assembly. One maybe come from a Jesus' name church, as they say. And all of them coming together, one from what they would call a holiness church or congregational holiness church. One, just numbers of them here. Some from non-denominational churches. But see, it is a proof that this little band of pilgrims here represent the coming together of God's people. See, coming out of every walk. For they shall come from the east and the west and set down in the place of the children of the kingdom. Coming from every walk of life, they're coming together. They are here from all kind of followings. All kind of followings. Not just ignorant men. Some of them were as Peter and different ones, ignorant fishermen. Some of these were as Matthews and different ones, as tax collectors. They're brilliant men. Some are highly educated men. Some are theologians. Some are just common people. But they all love Jesus. They've got one great thing in common, and that is they love Jesus. You know, the Bible said in the early church they had all things common. That didn't mean that they sold everything and just pooled it together. Though they did sell land and houses, they laid it down at the apostles' feet and they shared with the poor. But when it says all things common, it means that they had common clothing. They had common eats when it come to food, common vehicles. They didn't have automobiles in that time, but they took the common means of travel. Everything was a common way of life. Their homes were common. They were just a common group of people. Let's sing this little chorus that we sing, "They Come from the East and the West." Can we sing that? Folks, with the baptism yesterday, I could never express in words the great significance of it. I mentioned to somebody, I said, I wish that Floyd could get this on video. This is a great, wonderful moment. One of the greatest moments in the history of all mankind. But we did get a few pictures yesterday. The sun was going down and we didn't get maybe the clarity that we want unless God divinely undertook. But we did get some pictures. But it was one of the greatest things that ever happened in the history of mankind. And certainly a testimony for Tony and the brother priest. Because they were baptized on Christmas Day. That's a very unusual thing. And he was telling me tonight he certainly appreciated his gifts. He wanted you to know that he so very much appreciated his gifts. Let's sing this little chorus now. They'll come from the east and the west. Can you sing it with me now? They'll come from the land so far to feast with the King, to dine as His guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding hallowed faith, aglow with His light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in His crown to shine. Can you sing it again now? They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands afar to feast with the King, to dine as His guest.
How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding His hallowed face, aglow with light divine. Bless partakers of God's grace, as gems in His crown to shine. Can you sing one more time now? They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands afar to feast with the King, to dine as His guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding His hallowed face, aglow with light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in His crown to shine.
Hallelujah. Don't you feel Jesus tonight? I want you to just lift up your hands and let's love Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Father, tonight we love You for Your goodness and presence. May there be something said tonight, dear Heavenly Father, that will enrich those that have listened. Forgive us our sins. And oh God, Holy Father, in Your lovely name tonight, may Your great loving Spirit sweep over the audience, Father. May their sins be forgiven. Lord, may their wrongs be taken away. And may they be filled with the great loving Spirit, the great Holy Spirit, Father. Lord, may they be blessed tonight. Lord, for them that You bless, they shall be blessed. And oh God, we bless them in Jesus' name tonight. Holy Father, by Your word and Your Spirit, dear God, according to their faith tonight, we bless them in Jesus' name. For may they believe, oh God. Lord, may they be blessed. God, may they be magnified. May they be lifted up. For You said whoever we bless would be blessed, Father. And Lord, how can we curse that which Thou hast blessed? Therefore, we bless the children of God tonight. May they be blessed in Jesus' name tonight. May their sick bodies, God, be healed. May they be blessed, O God. May they be prospered, O Lord. I beseech Thee, as David of old prayed, send prosperity to the church. Send prosperity to Thy people. O God, bless them. In Jesus' name, fill them with the great Spirit of God. Lord, for You said, I would above all things that You prosper and that You be in health. Oh God, may it be so. May it be so. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Lord, You said You'd make us to ride upon the high places of the earth. Feed us with the heritage of Jacob. Oh, beloved Father, that we would be like a tree planted by the water to bring forth our fruit in our season. Our leaves would not wither, and whatsoever we should do would prosper, Father. May it be so. May You bless tonight in Jesus' name. May we watch and pray that we be ready, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen.